Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
As a lead shark on ABC's Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary's success with money management and in business is legendary. But he's made mistakes along the way as well, and he's written a new book so others can benefit from his experiences and learn how to avoid debt, how to save money, and how to invest for a brighter future. The new book is Cold Hard Truth on Men, Women, and Money, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kevin O'Leary to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. It is, I guess, safe to say, as it says right on the cover of the book, 50 Common Money Mistakes and How to Fix Them. Why do you think we are so apt to make mistakes?
I think it's a fundamental flaw that we did decades and decades ago when we just didn't teach children about money. You think about what we do educate children with. There's geography, math, physics, history, even sex education, and we never talk about money. It's crazy. And so what happens is you get kids turning into teens without any understanding of how money works or what their relationship with it should be like, and that's when things go off the rails and very, very bad outcomes occur. And I've said this many times in the book. You know, you have to respect money as a member of your family. It's going to be with you the rest of your life. It's either going to be your most powerful ally in your days alive or your worst enemy. You have to decide which it's going to be.
And you differentiate men, women, and money. So there's a difference between how men handle money and how women handle money.
Well, I made that title because those are the three most important things in life. I mean, if you think about anybody's relationship, it's going to be with two of those, another man, another woman, and money. Money's always there. Money is always involved in your relationship. And if you look at actual marriages, any combination, you find over 50% fail now. And it's not about infidelity. It's about money. And that's why I think people should start their lives really understanding what they're getting themselves into. This book is not about read it and become filthy rich. This is about read it so you can survive. I'm telling people that read this book that they'll find a good place in retirement, a safe place, and they'll figure out how this works, no matter how badly off they are right now.
No matter how badly off they are right now or how dire the outside circumstances seem to be, right?
Yeah, there's always a way to fix even the worst situations. And I start the opening page of this book from what motivated me to write it from my home in Boston. I ran into a woman who lived in Beacon Hill, obviously, you know, well off. And in the conversation quickly went to, she knew me from Shark Tank, but she confided in me that her husband had just died, and she in her mid-60s had no idea where their money was, or she didn't even have a credit card. She had no relationship with a bank. She had no bank account of her own. She had no idea where she stood. She was left adrift in an ocean of uncertainty, and she was terrorized. It took her 2 years to get her affairs in order. It was catastrophic, and I never want to meet another person like that again. That was the reason I wrote the book. She and others could really make use of the advice given here on these pages.
When you think of when people start to make mistakes, I mean, yes, it certainly has to do with education in school, but this can happen at a very young age where those whole ideas about money are formed.
Definitely. I suggest that children ages 5 and 6 be introduced to the concept of money. And the way to do that is start to talk about money as a family member, because it is. Explain where it comes from, why you need it, what their relationship's going to be with it for the rest of their lives, and start them in the concept of saving it, because you can't even open an account yet in a child's own name until they're 18, but you can do it in trust. And what I did years ago for my kids is said, listen, this is your secret 10 account. Every time anybody gives you any money in a gift, allowance, or a job you've got, you take 10% of that, and you put it in this account, and you never take it out. And that has worked for me. It's a very simple concept my mother taught me. It's something that becomes your own, your absolute own. And because it's in your own name, particularly for women, they start to establish a credit record very early in their lives. Nobody, no one, no man, no woman, no one should ever be without their own bank account in their own name and for their whole lives, because in life, poo-poo happens, and you have to have a credit history.
You, as the title suggests, Cold Hard Truth on Men, Women, and Money. And you say in the book, no matter how much money you make, the world is designed to take it away. That is the system that we have that we have before us.
It's true. I think everybody intuitively knows that. You know, from an early age, every company markets to you. Every financial institution wants your account. Everybody wants to charge you interest when you're in debt. Everybody wants you to buy stuff you don't need. And the truth is you have to filter all that crap out of your system and say, look, I have to live within my means. I have to save some money. I have to stay out of debt, or at least if I go into debt from a student loan or if I buy a home, I've got to be out of it by my late 40s, or I could be in real trouble when I retire in my 50s or 60s. That's the real problem. You have to turn yourself from someone who is paying interest because they're in debt to someone who's receiving interest because they've saved money and they have no debt. That's the transition I really describe in this book.
Certainly in your other job as a shark on ABC Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful, you go through seeing people come in and have ideas and how they have set up business and different things that they are trying to get you to invest in. And I'm always interested about how quickly you come to a baseline understanding of how they're screwing it up. Does it surprise you that so many people screw it up?
Yes, it does, but I'll tell you something. The better way to do it is reverse that thought and say, what are the common attributes that every deal that's got funded on Shark Tank have? And it turns out, if you go back over 5 years, there's three elements, and here they are. And this is a lesson for anybody that's starting a business or wants to pursue the path of an entrepreneur. In every case, the entrepreneur or team was able to describe the opportunity in 90 seconds or less. So the ability to simplify it and make it obvious to the investor how they could make money if it worked. Number two, they were able to convince the investors that they were the right people or person to execute the business plan, that they were actually the ones that would drive it. And lastly, and this is 100% of the time, and if you get this wrong, you always blow up. You have to know your numbers. You have to be able to explain your profit margins, your break-even levels, the size of the market, how fast you think you can grow sales, and never slip up on any of those questions. If you get all three of those right, that's when you get funded. And if you go back and look at any Shark Tank from 5 years ago to now, all three of those are there in successful deals.
I'm not a big fan of reality television, but I do like Shark Tank because there does seem to be this educational component to it.
I think that's correct. And the big surprise for us on the show that really, really knocked our socks off was that over the last couple of years, we've become a show that families watch. I believe now we're the number one show in America watched by families together, which is a really big surprise because who knew that a show focusing on business and entrepreneurialism would be so appealing to a 9, 10, and 11-year-old child? And it turns out that the entrepreneurial spirit is very much alive in America at that young age, and that's very important for this economy and the next generation. So I'm very proud of that aspect. And I think it's something that's just a wonderful outcome for us.
You do a version of this show in your native Canada. You do the Shark Tank version. I just saw, when I was on vacation in Alberta, I saw you on that program in Canada. And are there differences in the show? Do you see fundamental differences about how people in one country view money as opposed to this country?
You know, I do television in Britain and Canada and, of course, here in the States. And I noticed the differences are really biased around the sectors of the economy that are prevalent there. Let's take Canada for instance. The Canadian economy is built on commodities, energy, and financial services. So you see the majority of the deals brought forward on their version of Shark Tank are basically all set in those three spheres. Here in America, we have 10 sectors in our economy. We have the full S&P diversification. So, for example, we have biotech, we have pharma, we have medical devices. And you see those deals coming on Shark Tank. So there's more diversification. On the work I did in Britain, it's completely different there too. And so what I'm learning is that it really is driven by the overall size of the economy. And luckily, here in America, we have the largest economy on earth, so we have the most diversification.
And with that diversification comes really some fun as to what people can dream up to be their way of getting wealthy and becoming an entrepreneur.
I'm amazed. And let me give you two diverse situations, both successful, luckily both of the ones I invested in. A true commodity like cupcakes, anybody can make a cupcake, anybody. And it's a very simple thing to do. And yet a mother-daughter team in Boston, Tracy and Danny Noonan, with a company called Wicked Good Cupcakes, and Faneuil Hall, came on Shark Tank and took their sales from $15,000 a week. And they make cupcakes, put them in mason jars, and FedEx them to you, really high-end cupcakes. They went from $15,000 a week to $250,000 a week because of the Shark Tank effect. And they're still selling that much. They'll do over $1 million in cupcakes since they came on the air. It's a huge outcome for them, and that's a commodity. They're building a brand. And on Friday's show last week, and I think it's the first time this has ever happened, we had a $1 million deal around a device that you attach to your phone. It's a breathalyzer, and it turns your iPhone or your Android device into a very accurate alcohol breath system, because we're going to zero tolerance in many states for drivers under 21. And this thing even hasn't shipping yet, but because it was on Shark Tank, has already sold $350,000 of the pre-orders on the website, breathometer.com. It's the first time the sharks fought it out together. We put $1 million into that company. Everybody took a piece of the deal.
And what is that like then to work with your partners on that show as business partners, which you have in individual arrangements?
Well, you know, we all have egos. We all have money. We can all write the check. We don't like to lose. So sometimes we collude to try and keep the price down. Sometimes we compete. Everybody has their own style. I mean, it gets a little testy, and we've been doing it for a lot of years. So, you know, I try to involve other sharks that have knowledge I don't have, because I'm a big believer in partnerships to make money. If it's in clothing, I'll do something with Damon. Real estate, of course, I would want Barbara involved. I've done a bunch of deals with Mark Cuban. He's very strong in technology, obviously. So, I mean, these things come together. But frankly, if I had my preference, I'd just rather invest myself and have 51% and have total control. That's my style.
And do you feel the people who are leaving that room are always getting the best that is for them? The best for them.
I hope not. I hope I get the best sometimes. I mean, that's the nature of investing. You want to buy low and sell high. I think good deals are ones where both people are unhappy in the end because they both gave up something that's valuable to the other, and those are great partnerships. Look, you know, venture investing is extremely risky. Maybe 2 in 10 deals work. You need a huge portfolio of companies in your investment strategy, and very often it's the ones you don't think are going to work that end up making you the most money and pay for the other 8 mistakes you made.
Well, the book is fascinating. It is Cold Hard Truth on Men, Women, and Money, 50 Common Money Mistakes and How to Fix Them. Kevin O'Leary, best-selling author and star of ABC Shark Tank, is the author. The book is published by Gallery Books. Kevin O'Leary, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Take
care. Pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Cold Hard Truth on Men, Women, and Money. Kevin O'Leary is the author. It's published by Gallery. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.